I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of The Memo. It is Wednesday, October 28th. I'm Brad Locke, along with W. Derek Russell. Hello, sir.
I wish I could say it wasn't raining anymore, but it still is a little bit.
Yeah, it's supposed to clear up and then come back on the weekend, just in time for Halloween.
We'll talk more about that with William Moore joining us in a little while. Have you stayed dry regardless?
Pretty much.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about today, except injuries. We're not talking about injuries on the show today. Dan Mullen forbids it.
I was like, where are you going with this? But yeah, nice segue.
Dan being Dan. He got peeved that the reporters reported something about an injury last week ahead of the Kentucky game. Will Redmond, star defensive back, ACL, he's out for the year. That got reported before the game. He didn't like that. And so now, this week, he's told reporters, well, I'm just not going to talk about injuries at all now because y'all know more than I do, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
so, you know, he's done this before. Chris, it looked like you wanted to say something.
I should say it really hurt him. It really hurt him on
Saturday.
Yeah,
yeah, they gave up 16 points to Kentucky. That bit of info about Redmond really helped the Wildcats.
That's the principle of the thing, guys.
Sure, okay. You know, I used to cover MSU, so I'm familiar with Dan's tactics. And what he'll do is he'll say, we don't talk about injuries, and then Monday press conference, he'll give you an injury update.
Dan tactic. That's my insurance agent.
What? So, that happened yesterday. He got a little testy with the media.
Well, it happens.
But it happens. It's part of covering an SEC program. Coaches act that way sometimes.
Okay. Ed Orgeron never got testy when I covered him.
Oh, yeah, you got to cover Ed, didn't you?
What a thrill.
Hello, Chris. Would you like a Red Bull? Anyway.
Yeah.
David Brandt of the AP does a really good Ed Orgeron impression.
Yes.
Yeah.
He does a lot of good impressions.
Yeah, he does. I had David on my old show for when I was covering MSU, Bulldog Sports
the
Radio.
The Undercover Crackhead podcast?
No, no. Bulldog Sports Radio, and I tried to get him to do a Houston Nutt impression. He wouldn't do it on the air, so yeah. Dave's a man of many talents.
Maybe why you don't have a show anymore.
He does a good Dave Chappelle, too.
Yes, he does. what's the character? Tyrone Biggums?
Yeah.
Well, some of that might not be appropriate for this medium.
Bleep.
Here.
Maybe we can have him on sometime.
We need to have David on sometime. He's a cool guy. But anyway, we got lots of people on the show today. And, let's get to it. Okay, let's start off with some winners from Houston, Mississippi. They went over to Australia, and they did pretty well for themselves at the World Solar Car Challenge, an 1,800-mile race, and they won in their category, which I believe was the adventure class. And Floyd Ingram of the Chickasaw Journal, he did a good job of following that team throughout its run over in Australia. Floyd, how's it going?
Pretty good, Brad, pretty good.
Thanks for joining us. You know, you've obviously, like I said, followed this race, and of course you've followed this team for years. They've got a reputation of winning on a national level, these high school kids from Houston High School. But now, for the first time, that they've gone to compete in a global race. And Floyd, what were the expectations kind of going into this? I mean, again, there's different classes, but, you know, they're going in there against some much better funded teams.
They are, they're competing against, it's actually 42 teams from 25 countries. They represent international universities, technical schools, high schools, and even some private entrepreneurs that entered this race. Like you said, there are three races, three classes, Challenger, Cruiser, and Adventure. Houston races in the Adventure class, which is, I guess you'd call it the lowest class. That's the high school class. These teams race, it's a staged race. You race from one location to another, basically about 8 hours a day under solar power. If you cannot finish that stage, you do what they call trailer your car and put it on a truck and then head to the next stop, staging area, check in there. If as you're headed down the highway, you have a judge in your car. If 5:30 comes, the judge gets out, draws a white line in the highway, you drive your car off the side of the road, and that's where you camp out that night. And then the next morning, that's where you start racing again. It's been a real exciting week for these 14 kids from Houston that have gone over there and entered this race. The race has not been without some controversy. We found out yesterday that the Houston Solar Car team that had the most solar miles has suddenly been ranked third, Brad, and it's a little bit of a concern for us. We're still trying to figure out exactly what happened. Apparently, there has been some kind of administrative snafu where we missed a checkpoint or some kind of paperwork wasn't filled out. But it's been sort of confusing for us back in Houston, who apparently don't have a real grasp of what's going on. But we still consider them winners. We still consider them victorious. They raced the most miles under solar power of anybody. The other schools in that class tailored their car, and so didn't do true solar car racing.
Right.
The most miles, but like I said, our bunch comes back in tomorrow night to Memphis, flies into Memphis airport about, I think it's 10:49 if the weather and scheduling and everything is correct, and then we pick them up and bring them back. We are scheduling a community-wide event to have our solar car team recognized by the community. We're going to have what we call a kangaroo barbecue, and one of our kids, when we crossed the finish line, wanted to drink some chocolate milk, sort of the Indy tradition where you drink milk after the race. So we're going to have some chocolate milk there at our event also, along with good old Southern Ice Tea. But that'll probably be November the 12th here in Houston. You can tell everybody that listens to this that they'll show up at the Civic Center. They're welcome to come by and look at the boomerangs and the photographs and the koala bears, stuffed koala bears. I think some people are even bringing back some opals from Australia. So we're planning a party.
Any
our solar park kids.
Any actual kangaroo meat? I hear it's delicious.
It's dark. What my son has told me, he had some. There was a restaurant there, and he asked for what he said is a strong meat. We eat deer around here. He said it reminded him a lot of that.
And okay.
It's sort of tough. It's wild. It's game. But they've had. I think they're bringing back some Vegemite. Anybody brave enough to eat that is welcome to a bite of that too. But we're really excited about this bunch. You know, you said at the beginning, this is a 14-year tradition for Houston. It is what we do best down here. We've got a pretty good football team. We've got a pretty good baseball team. But this solar car team has been doing it 14 years in a row at the national level, winning, going out to Texas and winning it at the national level, garnered a lot of support. A lot of kids have gone through this program that are now engineers, doctors, lawyers, and such. It's really a good program for this school. It draws the community together for about a week every year as everybody watches the race and tries to keep up with where the car is. We're real proud of this bunch.
Floyd, what does it mean for them to succeed like this on this level, having done it on the national level? Now they, I guess, you know, they'll get recognition from a lot more places.
I've went to the party that we got scheduled. We're inviting the governor, and we're inviting the congressman and such, all the legislators from this neck of the woods. TVA has been involved with this, UPS, Federal Express. Some very large companies that are a little bit bigger than just North Mississippi have wanted to get on the solar car, the Sundancer bandwagon, and ride with us as we seek these championships. It's a pretty extensive program. Solar car racing is not cheap. The travel and logistics is what costs so much.
Yeah.
These kids, they're the ones that change the tires. They're the ones that design the car. They're the ones that put it together. They're the ones that pull all the maintenance on it. They know it inside and out. They know how to talk about ohms and hertz and volts and resistance and wires and such. And I don't know all that stuff, but it's been real neat to be around them and see, learn something that obviously will carry them very, very far in life. Has to look good on a resume. We're real proud of them.
Good deal. Well, good job by the Houston Solar Car team. And Floyd, good job. Appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Thank you much.
Yes, sir.
Well, we move from a sun dance to a rain dance, which somebody has apparently done in the past several days. William Moore joining us now. How are you doing, William?
I'm doing fine.
Happy birthday, good sir.
Well, thank you.
We have had a lot of rain in the area, and while we've had a little bit of a break this morning, although it still was like a Seattle drizzle out there for me coming in, Moore's on the way, it sounds like.
Moore's on the way. We're going to have a couple of days of clear, more or less dry weather, and then the rains are supposed to come back again over the weekend. And the long-range forecast says, you know, more rain the following weekend.
I don't...
Which is bad news for farmers.
I mean, everybody's saying lately there's been, you know, it's been so dry we haven't had rain. I guess everybody clamoring for it at once just caused all of it to come. But this is left over from the hurricane, correct?
A lot of this is left over from Hurricane Patricia. I mean, and then there was also another rain system already moving through Texas. So, I mean, that's the reason we got rain from Saturday all the way through Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And the problem is the timing of it. It came at the wrong time for farmers. They're basically farmers who still have soybeans and cotton crops out in the field that they're trying to get to, but now it is just plain too wet.
Yeah.
You know, the soybean farmers, it's too wet to get the combines out there. But once it dries up, if they get just a couple of dry days, they'll be able to get out there and actually harvest the soybeans. The bigger problem is going to be for the cotton farmers.
Yeah.
The bolls have already opened, so the cotton lint, the fluff, the, you know, nice little fluffy white bowls, when it rains, they're no longer fluffy and white. They get wet and it damages the quality. They get stained. So the color's not as good. So that's a big problem for the farmers. And then on top of that, if it stays wet long enough and it warms up, there's a chance that the seeds, the cotton seeds inside that cotton bowl could germinate, which would really damage the quality of the cotton.
Yeah. What, and with what I assume, looking at the forecast coming up, I mean, we're not about to get a whole lot warmer. It's actually going to get a little bit colder, and cold with an already wet ground is just making for massacre, not only for farmers, but, I mean, just somebody out in their yard. This rain is going to have to make me mow again in November.
Well, that would be that. The average folks, I mean, for the average person, is going to help their yard. I mean, because the grass will go ahead and grow one more time, and, you know, the roots will get nice, good, firm grip before winter comes. You know, but again, you know, for the farmers, you know, they're still trying to get out there and put heavy machinery on ground that is now soaked and muddy and
pretty much can't move out there.
They're in a wait and see pattern. And, like, I mean, there's an old saying for farmers, you know, they pray for rain.
Yeah.
And then they pray for it not to rain.
Pray for it not to rain.
I mean, that's where they are right now.
How critical are these 2 days to, if it's not raining, to be able to get outside and do anything?
For the soybean farmers, they really need it to be stay dry so they can get out there. The cotton farmers, you know, if it doesn't, it might create a really bad year for them. And for a lot of cotton farmers are already, you know, in the hole because back in May, we had a week of rain. Mm-hmm. Which damaged crops that were already planted, and a lot of farmers had to go back and replant crops. So, I mean, a lot of them have already planted the crops twice, and now if the crop doesn't turn out, it could be a problem.
It's a little late to do anything after that point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we expect more rain on the way, but hopefully in the next 2 days will at least give us maybe not sunny skies, but at least clear conditions.
That's what they're looking for.
All right. Thanks for joining us, William.
Glad to do it.
All right, on a happier note, let's talk a little bit about the Lee County Library here in town. It has gotten a new grant to promote creativity, and Zach Orsborn joining us now. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing well. Tell us about this $7,500 grant that the library is going to be getting and what all they're planning to do with it.
Yeah, so they applied at the end of the summer for the Association of Library Services to Children Curiosity Creates Grant, and what they do is they had to highlight a program from the library that they thought was unique, and they chose the Growing Into Cosplay program, which they promote costume creating, they do prop making, manga and comic book writing and stuff like that. And so they applied, they got as their first creativity grant, and they're about to start with their programs on November 10th, which would be a manga and comic drawing workshop.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I know we've done a few stories on the cosplay group here at the Journal, and it is an innovative thing, especially for this area, to be able to promote that, especially within the Lee County Library. That's a great fund, number of funds, really. $7,500 can go a long way, especially with the library. Have they got a detailed, itemized list of what they're planning to hit out of the park with these numbers?
So far, they're just going to amp up their manga and comics and graphic novel sections. They plan on buying sewing machines and a stop-motion camera because they're going to have a Lego stop-motion workshop where they teach kids how to do stop-motion. That's all they're purchasing, and they're going to also do a video commercial workshop.
Yeah, I know in things like that, especially with a nonprofit, $7,500 seems like a great deal of money, but it ends up going pretty fast when you go towards programming like this, especially for creative people. Everybody's got an opinion on how the funds should be spent. So, but I know they're excited to get this, and hope it goes for a long way for them.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. They want to promote learning through creating. So they thought it was a perfect time to kind of start these programs.
Yeah, good promotion. Mm-hmm. Going on at Lee County Library. Zach, thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
Okay, it's Wednesday, which means it's food day, which means Jenna Parsons is here. Didn't bring any food again, but I guess we'll still let her stay for a few minutes.
Hey. Next week.
Okay, hold you to it. We got donuts today, whatever. This pasta pie you've made, though, looks kind of delicious. Can find the story in today's food section at djournal.com. We have a little step-by-step photo gallery to show people how to make it. It looks kind of tedious. You're stacking noodles vertically.
That was the fun part.
Yeah.
The stacking noodles only took about 5 minutes. The tough part was pushing the meat down into each little noodle.
I wouldn't have the patience. I mean, I can't cook anyway, but if I could.
Well, the reason I did this is because the website where I had printed this recipe showed it step by step.
Right.
And so it made it a little less intimidating. And so that's why we took some photos along the way, thinking maybe other people would give it a chance if they saw kind of how it came together. But I do have to tell you that my son, Patrick, made a surprise visit home last night. And he saw the leftovers in the refrigerator. He said, "Mom, please." I said, "Patrick, we're fixing to have dinner." He said, "Mom, please." So I fixed him a bowl, and he said, "Oh, this is so good." He said, "If I come home again this weekend, will you make it again for me?" So it was delicious.
So now you got to make it again. Pasta pie. Not surprisingly, this is, I think, something you got from Martha Stewart. Sounds like something she would come up with.
It was. It was a recipe that I had downloaded 6 or 7 years ago. And when I was digging through old recipes this past weekend looking for a different recipe, I came across it and put it on the refrigerator and had all the pictures with it and whatnot. And my husband, Charlie, came through and he said, "Are we having this tonight?" And I said, "No, tomorrow night." And he said, "Why can't we have it tonight?" I said, "We're having fish tonight." So he weathered through the fish and looked forward to the pasta pie.
Speaking of Charlie, I'll play the role of Charlie for a moment. When are you going to write your own cookbook?
I thought we were going to talk about the cook of the week.
We'll get to that. Yeah, I know. Charlie kind of pushing you to do that.
He is. And I need to do it. Someday. I just need to do a family cookbook just for the house.
I'd buy it.
So you would buy it?
For my wife to use. No, I might try some of it. But yeah, cook of the week. Let's segue into that. That would be Tarlin Gates, how you say her name?
Uh-huh, Tarlin.
Yeah. Interesting story. Raised basically by her grandmother. Her mom was very young when she had her. Learned to cook biscuits and cornbread, and now I'm hungry. Where was I? And now she cooks a lot during the holidays for other people.
She does.
And apparently people love her caramel cakes. And three Thanksgivings ago, she made 62 of them in her own kitchen.
62
caramel and
I had a caller already this morning, a reader, call and say, in that icing that she makes on those cakes, she says to stir for 2 to 3 hours. To stir it.
For two to three hours.
And the reader said, "Surely you mean 2 to 3 minutes?" And I said, "No, ma'am." I questioned her, and she said 2 to 3 hours. But she also said she makes it in a big, huge pot so that she makes five or six batches at a time.
2 to 3 hours. 2 to 3 hours. My arm would get tired.
Well,
I don't understand.
You know, in the story, she says she hates making these cakes.
Yeah, I bet.
And I know why. But
people
but they're
love them.
They're people's favorite.
I would just be bored to tears. I guess you just do it in front of the TV, watch a movie.
Listen to a podcast.
Or listen to a podcast while you do it.
Or a baseball game.
Or a baseball game. Yeah. Charlie, by the way, people, big Mets fan, her husband. Tough game last night.
Tough one.
Good game, though.
Really good.
Going to be a good series. Yeah. So I guess, Jenna, by default, you're a Mets fan. Do you care?
Actually, the reason I'm excited about this World Series is because I've actually seen both of these teams play in person.
Nice.
I went to the Kansas City Royals in Kansas City. Was the first Major League Baseball game I ever went to, and we saw Bo Jackson hit an inside the ballpark broken bat home run.
Wow.
And Charlie told me that was really special.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
In fact,
there was an inside the park home run last night, first at bat for Kansas City. The guy hit one.
We saw that.
Yeah, so. And
second time in World Series history?
Second time that the leadoff, for a leadoff inside the park home run. The last one was like 100 years ago or something. But yeah, that's cool. Bo Jackson. I wish I could have seen him play in person. But anyway. Got sidetracked. That's okay. Cook of the Week, again, Tarlin Gates. You can find her story and recipes at thejournal.com or in the food section of the journal. She's got an interesting backstory. I mentioned being kind of raised by her grandmother. Has a couple of kids on her own now. One of them was injured in that tornado, one of the tornadoes that came through 4 years ago, because they live in Houston, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Or they did at the time, at least. So she's been through a lot in her life, but she seems to be doing okay and
enjoys giving back now to the elders.
She's a very popular with the folks at the Traceway retirement community.
Oh yes.
She's what's her position there? She was a universal
worker which is called a Shabazz, and now she's over all the Shabazz, which are called Shabazzim.
Nice.
So she heads them up and kind of flits house to house wherever she's needed and visits different places, the different houses there, and visits with the elders and cooks. And when she was making this chocolate cake, and she was also making a red velvet cake, several of the elders that were in the area watching TV were, you could tell they had one eye on the TV and one eye on the kitchen because, you know, you hear these sounds, you hear the mixer going and icing the cake, and you get to smell all these sounds. So it's really neat that it's like they're back in their own homes.
Whenever I get put in one of those homes, I'm sure I will someday. I'm just going to spend all my time in the kitchen.
Absolutely.
For food. That's pretty much it. Real quick, before you go, Jenna, I had a story on this St. James Ladies Club rummage sale and food bazaar set for next Saturday.
November the 7th.
Yeah,
right.
The 7th of November, 8 to noon. Lots of good food and among other things. They do this every year, don't they?
They do it every year. They do about 12 standard recipes where they have cooking days and volunteers come in and they might make 54 pans of chicken fettuccine or 13 gallons of chili. And they have those things always to sell, the set 12 items. But then the parishioners will also bring in fresh baked goods and jams and jellies and cookies and brownies. So you'll get whatever they offer and that they're always going to have.
Yeah.
And then you'll get some surprises from what people bring in fresh.
Cool. That's at the St. James Catholic Church in Tupelo next Saturday. Okay, Jenna, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
I'm hungry, but it always happens after I talk to Jenna. And sitting next to her out in the newsroom is very difficult when she's on the phone discussing meals and recipes and things of that nature.
So fortunately, somebody brought donuts today.
Yes, Mr. Dennis Rockefeller out there.
Dennis Rockefeller.
He brought the glazed and the chocolate. So
yeah, he did.
Although apparently it's National Chocolate Day.
Oh, well, then I should go have another.
Although I think most people celebrate that the whole year round.
Yeah.
Every day. It's also health screening day. So
it's a bad.
We're having health screenings at the Journal this week. Yeah.
But he just got them. So when you come out of the health screening, you can go directly to it because you got to fast.
Mine's not till Friday, so I'm
good.
That's
fine. Speaking of food, did you see this email I just got about the Lionel Richie home collection?
Yes, Lionel's.
I thought Lionel's surely not selling it's any not yet. That Lionel Richie. Yeah. Oh, but it is.
Apparently, he needs to. He's not selling many albums these days.
You take that back about Lionel Richie.
I'm just saying,
man, it's a
I like
god.
Him. I like him.
It's going to feature iconic dinnerware, barware, serving, and entertaining accessories, and luxuriously fragrant candles that reflect a look and feel Lionel has captured as he traveled the world throughout his remarkable career.
Does he still have that hair?
Yes, he does.
Wow. Really?
No, not really. The afro? No, he doesn't have
What are some anymore. Of the featured items there?
Well, I can't. It doesn't say in here, but I can only expect that the hello, is it tea you're looking for, teapot, will be on the list.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it tea?
It's kind of funny, though. Lionel Richie, I wouldn't say he's having a revival, but you kind of see him here and there now with the one commercial that does that. I can't remember what it is.
I haven't seen
it. Seems like it's somewhere else, too. I've seen him.
Yeah, that's his hair now.
Well. He looks like a respectful. Yeah. He always has, but
they don't have anything. It's when you go to the website, it's just a great picture of him and a personal message of things that he will have.
It's always funny to me when you see these big movie or.
He gave us all his best, though. He said all the best.
Good. All these movie, TV, or music stars suddenly start some kind of random business like this, or you're like, I'm always wondering, do they actually know anything about it? I mean, apparently Kathy Ireland knows a lot about furniture because she's been pretty successful with that. But is this? It's like, you know, you just don't think of these celebrities having these other interests, I guess.
Yeah. I was trying to think of more songs that I could riff on cutlery, but I can't.
You're totally going to buy
something. Running with the knife. That'd be a good one.
You're totally going to buy some of that, aren't you?
Lionel Richie home collection? Absolutely.
It's Christmas season. I already
signed up for the mailing list. I'm sad I can't come up with more. I can't think of a good Endless Love.
What? Friends can sing Endless Love to each other in the dark.
I can't think of, good line. I can't think of a good Endless Love riff off of plates or cutlery.
It's okay.
Say you, say me. Salt you. Salt. It's not good. See, they aren't good. They're not as good as Is It Tea You're Looking For. And I didn't even come up with that one. I'm a fraud in the show.
That's
Brad.
A real teapot.
It is a real teapot. Whether or not I own it, find out next time on the memo.
Oh, man. Speaking of podcasts, Double Coverage will be on the air today. It's going to be kind of
tomorrow.
I keep thinking today's Thursday. I don't know what's wrong with me. I will not be.
I would like Thursday. To answer that question if at all possible. I have a list prepared.
Anyway, Derek, Thursday double coverage. Normally with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry will just be Parrish, and it's basically going to be Parrish with having an interview with Jay Tate, who covers Auburn, because Parrish had to. Go out of town, and the Bulldogs don't play this week, so it's be kind of a shorter version of Double Coverage, but worth listening to. Jay Tate, good guy, funny guy. Doublecoverage.djournal.com. You can find it there. Of course, you can find it in iTunes or any of your podcast apps. And also, need to remind y'all about Thrive Marketing. It's a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. Thrive.ms. Derek?
I use Thrive.
I do.
So do we.
We also want to tell you about the Bridal Journal. I mentioned that on Monday, and that is coming up on November 15th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Kings Fisher Lodge in Verona, Mississippi. It's going to have a lot of great consultations and many seminars, as well as booths. Just a great expo if you're planning your wedding. No better place to go. Lots of special offers, door prizes, and a grand prize valued at $1,000. A whole $1,000.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'd sell that.
That's a lot of pieces of the Lionel Richie home collection right there.
I'm
registered for that if anybody'd like to.
Sell that $1,000 prize and buy all the Lionel Richie stuff you want.
I'm pretty sure that might get you four pieces of the Lionel Richie home collection.
No.
I just need a set. Just one plate, one fork.
Does every piece have his face on it?
I hope so. I just really hope so. Anyway, but register for that today, bridaljournal.ms/expo. The VIP spots are $30. It goes down from their regular admission online. It's $15 at the door. The day of on the 15th is $20.
Cool. And programming note, I will not be here tomorrow.
And there was much rejoicing.
I'm going on a field trip with my son, so I will
say,
not
you
be here.
Going to go shave again?
No, it's growing. It's going. I'm going to let it keep growing.
Yeah.
It's been about 4 days
I'm going to be honest with you. The in-between stage, I'm not digging. It needs to be all or none.
Yeah, well, it'll... By the time...
I don't know. Let me feel.
I'm back on the podcast.
Come here. Let me feel. I'm not actually doing that. Let's get away from me. It's radio. They don't know.
HR walked by just now. That's what happened.
She's got a health screen. Don't worry about. Follow us online at DJournal Memo on the Twitter, also at DJournal Now, our official Twitter for the Daily Journal. You can hear about all the stories we talked about today on the memo, but you can read about them in your Daily Journal or at DJournal.com. And of course, our home on the web, memo.djournal.com. We'll be back. I'll be back again on Thursday.
I'll be back Monday.
Who's joining me on Thursday, Chris?
Who knows? somebody?
Is it going to be Chris?
A warm body.
Truly.
Brad, please come back. No, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. I heard his feelings. Nice. Don't cry. Loved. Don't cry. It's going to be okay.
It's good times.
It's fine.
Good times.
Keep it in. Hold it in. He's a little shaky. He just had his health exam, so he downed the whole orange juice really quick. All right. We'll be back again on Thursday. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
See you.